Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, precious saints of God, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with the one and only Sister AJ and yours truly, her sidekick. Well, we have another great show in store for you. We've been talking about Michael Todd and his who-know-what message he's talking about, tithing and giving and more problems, more money. The more Michael talks, the more stupid he sounds. So that should be another sermon series. More talk, more stupid. But that said, let me bring on Sister AJ, and we're going to start this up real quick because we have lots of audio to get to, and we want to be able to come. Excuse me. We want to be able to cover everything. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, brother?
All righty. Listening to Michael Todd is having your skull in a vice grip and someone's turning the screws. You know, it just hurts the brain. It's horrible to hear him. And what's amazing, Sister AJ, what is amazing is this guy has gone standing room only in his church. Standing room only.
Yeah.
And what is he saying?
Listening on the internet.
Right. And you have to ask yourself, what in the world is he saying? Because, you know, they wouldn't let him teach in high school. He would not be an elementary school teacher. He's an awful communicator. Awful.
Well, from what I've been hearing about some schools today, he might have a shot.
Well, would you want him teaching your elementary school child? Is there another way of putting it?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't want him training my dog.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The guy is just, he's nonsensical. He says one thing, and then 10 seconds later, he's contradicting himself. So I don't want to chew up the time. Set this up for us so we can get right into it, because we have lots of audio this week.
Well, the audio, lots of audio is because of it's another update I wanted to do. I figured you could have some fun taking some more swipes at Dallas Jenkins because his third season of The Chosen is out, is set for release. And they released a preview trailer last week, and already is some controversy. And this week I've been seeing a lot of commentary on it, so I decided, well, we'll take another whack at Dallas.
Okay. All right.
And so that's what the first few videos are.
All right. So let's go to audio one.
They'll say special update on The Chosen, the ones that are about this. And the first one is the actual trailer that I wanted to take a look at first.
All right. Yep. All right, so this is the trailer. This is what they're putting out to hook the
people
back in.
For season three,
yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And this is almost 3 minutes long. Let's listen to this.
Right.
You look troubled.
I am.
You're losing something. I know what that's like.
What are you losing?
Time.
I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
No, Sister AJ. I just heard where this version of Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. I want to stop it right there because in this little town where I pastor, there's a pastor in town, okay? And he's of the Pentecostal / charismatic persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you recall, but a few months ago when we were doing the series on The Chosen, he's the one who invited me to his house. And as soon as I walked in, there was Chosen stuff everywhere. Okay. So last Friday, he shows up to our men's fellowship and he hands me a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And in the letter, it's a 4-page letter, but In the first page, he's talking about how the Roman Catholic Church has allowed pedophiles to get away with pedophilia and how the Roman Catholic Church has shifted ministers around, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's page one. So I'm reading this and I'm saying, where's he going with this? We get to page two and he starts to talk about how Pentecostals or the Protestants are always pointing their finger at the Catholic Church as to how bad they are, but the Protestants are just as bad because when there's wolves in their midst, the Pentecostal Charismatic Church doesn't know how to handle wolves or put them in their place, and it's the poor pastor who winds up suffering. That's page two. And page three, he wants me to join him and beating up on the wolves, right? And it just so happens that the people who he claims they're wolves, they're visiting our little church. They're just visiting. And I've already had my eye on them because, you know, I've had my eye on them.
Right.
You know, you can just tell that they're greasy. Right. So I've already had.
Right.
But, you know, if people are visiting, you got to be cordial and nice until they show their fangs, until they show their fur. Then once they do that, then you take out the shepherd's club and you just club them to death. Right. That's so you just,
right.
You know, you just. OK. So. So he tells me, you know, that. OK. Now, it so happens that the wolves that he's talking about, one of them is his brother-in-law. And the other one is his sister,
oh,
right? Brother-in-law, sister, okay? And what happened was 30 years ago, two couples decided to join forces, and I know you're probably saying, where's he going with this? But it has to do with the Chosen. Just give me a minute.
Okay.
So two couples 30 years ago decided to join forces. It so happens that the one couple is brothers and sisters to the other couple. So in other words, let's say couple A. Couple A, the brother in couple A, is the blood brother to the sister in couple B.
Okay, I got you.
And the sister in couple A is the sister to the brother in couple B. So in other words, I mean, it's two brothers and two sisters that married each other, right?
Okay.
Two brothers and sisters in one family who marry two brothers and sisters in another family.
Right.
So, I mean, that's close, right? I mean, that's close. You can't get any closer than that. I married your sister and you married my sister, right? I mean, okay. So they start out in ministry, and, of course, everything went crazy because they're Pentecostals / crazy costals. You know how that – you knew how that was going to end up, right?
Okay. Right.
Right. So in this little town, it was ugly, the fighting, the accusing. You did this, you did that. I mean, in a little town, word travels.
Yeah.
Right? So one couple remained with the church. The other couple left. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the couple that left bought the building. Right? The couple that left bought the building, so they evicted the church because, hey, we bought the building, but it was with our money.
Right.
So now the brother and sister who are the pastors who remain, they kept the church, they kept the people, but the other couple had the building, so they threw them out in the street. So that even made it even uglier. Right? Okay. So they come to me, or this one person comes to me, this chosen guy, he's into the chosen. You know, he's a chosen advocate. I mean, he's got it painted on his forehead that he watches the chosen, okay? So now this guy is still filled with poison. He's still filled with anger. He's still filled with hate. And all he had to do was listen to season 3, the opening statement. And what does the supposed Jesus say? Okay, here it is. Let's see if I can get past this embedded commercial here. Let's just, boy, they put commercials in everything.
Yeah, I know.
What happened here?
You look troubled.
I am.
You're losing something. I know what that's like.
What are you losing?
Time.
I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
So there you go. You have 30 years now where the Hatfields and the McCoys are shooting at each other.
Right.
All four of them love The Chosen. They love The Chosen. Hmm. Right?
Right.
But they're out to destroy one another. One group comes to me and badmouths the other group. And I said to them exactly what Jesus said here. Love your enemies, even if they're your brother and your sister. And pray mm-hmm. for those that persecute you. And AJ, they called me every name under the sun. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure when they watch the trailer, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
They might listen to Jink and Jesus, but not you.
Not me. And they'll listen to it and they'll cry, but that's as far as it'll go. They won't change. They won't change.
No, because I'm sure they've read this scripture hundreds of times.
Sure. If you are a pastor for 30 years, if both sides claim to be ministers for 30 years, and you don't know the beginning, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the first thing you learn in your first year of New Testament. Your first year is all Old Testament classes. Your second year is New Testament. Your third year is ministry classes, and your fourth year is theology classes. In your second year of Bible school, not only do you study the Synoptic Gospels, you study the Gospel of John, but also in addition to that, the teacher or one of your professors will have you go through the entire Sermon on the Mount for the whole semester. This is something
mm-hmm.
If you go to any reputable school, I mean, you should have covered the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, it's the greatest of all sermons.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know this, I said to one guy, listen, having wolves badmouth you is part of the job. It goes with the territory.
Jesus pretty much guaranteed that we would suffer persecution for his sake.
Right. And he said, blessed are you when you are persecuted. So I said, brother,
mm-hmm.
you're blessed. If all of that, what you said to me is true, that you know, this is happening and this is, you're blessed. Because look what Jesus said. But they don't want to hear it from Puerto Rican Jesus. They want Jenkins Jesus.
Well, once the season comes out, then we'll see.
Yeah.
You'll have to write me and tell me if he came to you repentant.
You know,
if they patch things up.
Yeah, and this is why all of this TV stuff, look, the bottom line is it's your personal walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
If you are hanging on every word that Dallas Jenkins puts out in this show and to wait to find the authentic Jesus, you blew it, man. You just – your
right.
pastor
and,
blew
and
it.
You're in trouble because Dallas is presenting is the authentic Jesus. It's a Jesus just that's a mixture of a lot of things.
Right. Okay, I wasted enough time. I went all the way. I went to China, Pakistan, and I'm back. Okay.
Someone touched me. If you are really the one who is to come, should we look for someone else?
Go and tell John what you hear and see.
Who is it? Where did we stop?
It's him. I'm Judas of Kerioth.
I have chosen you 12 as my apostles.
Don't feel any different?
I don't need you to feel anything to do great things.
But a stirring in your hearts. In the middle of such division and unrest. Is Father God being revealed to you? To me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
A scourge of false prophecy must stop. you do not renounce your words, we will have no choice but to follow the law of Moses.
I am the law of Moses.
They're here for Jesus of Nazareth.
More valuable than gold, more precious than rubies.
Force them out. We are still Rome.
Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock.
I'm the one who caused their hunger. I should be the one to feed them.
He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Hey there, I'm Dallas Crater of The Chosen, and I just wanted to tell you real quick that episodes 1 and 2 of Season 3 launch in theaters November 18th. Yes, theaters, before coming to The Chosen app along with the rest of the season. And if you're not caught up, please be sure to watch Seasons 1 and 2 by looking up The Chosen in the App Store or your streaming device.
So in theaters, does it mean you have to pay?
Yeah.
But I thought it was free.
Yes, indeed.
But I thought it was
It is when you watch it on the app, and like we did on the when we were reviewing it, but they're launching it in theaters where people will get to see the first two episodes before they actually come out officially. So it's some special thing, sort of like that Christmas thing they did where they had it in theaters. And you get to meet him and the cast and all this stuff. But, you got to buy a ticket.
Yeah, in this kind of economy, I'll just wait for it to come on Disney Plus or, wherever, you know, Satan Plus, wherever it's coming on.
What with a normal platform that we were looking at before, that's where it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Mormon.
I'm not paying for it. I'm not paying for that.
Me either.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and you know, they show Jesus, in the trailer, they show Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. And if this is season 3 and they plan...
I don't know if that's Lazarus or John the Baptist, because remember, he was arrested in last season, and they showed a glimpse of him in prison, so I don't know if that's John's tomb after he was killed or what.
Okay. But I'll tell you, if it's Lazarus's tomb, and Dallas has 8 seasons planned, that should have been left for last. That should have been left for last, because that happens at the end of Jesus, close to the end of Jesus's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So if he puts the chronology is all screwed up.
Well, you know, Dallas doesn't have a problem doing that, but I'm assuming that that's maybe where they buried John the Baptist.
Right. Well, let's see. He's excited. It's going to be in theaters.
Yoo-hoo, they're making that money.
Sure. They suckered people to give them money to do it for, right? And then now you got to go buy a ticket.
Right. That's if you want to see the first two episodes before everybody else.
Okay, but that's what Larry Reed Live does on Patreon. If you want the gossip, you got to become part. If you want all the sleaze, you got to join Patreon.
Yep.
Right? That's what I mean. I mean, listen. And look, when you got diehard zombies following the show, what do you think they're going to do? What do you think those people are going to do when you tell them to
see the
theater?
A lot of them are going to go to see the theater if it's playing in their area. They're going to see it.
Sure. Absolutely. And why do it now during the holidays? Oh, because everybody gets religious. It's all a marketing strategy. That's what it is. Okay. All right.
But couple things about the trailer that are controversial, but the main one is explained in the second video that I sent you, and it's like just under 2 minutes, I think.
Okay. All right, let's see.
Hey, everybody, Sean here, and I hope you're doing well. Yes, you read that title correctly, so let's jump right in. The Dissenter shared the trailer for Season 3 of The Chosen, and shockingly, Jesus quotes the Book of Mormon.
If you do not renounce your words, we will have no choice but to follow the law of Moses.
And I have to admit that I was really enjoying the trailer up till that point, even though I don't watch this show and can't recommend it after the review we did on it having so many issues. But then Jesus answers him.
I am the law of Moses.
But it was when Jesus said he is the law of Moses that raised my eyebrows. I don't remember that being stated anywhere in Scripture, because it's not. It's the book of Nephi in the Book of Mormon where he actually says that he is the law. So what does the Bible say about Jesus and the law of Moses? Galatians 4 says that Jesus was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. John 8 shows us that he was sinless under the law. Matthew 5 tells us that he came to fulfill the law. And those who are born again are now under the law of Christ, as Jesus tells us in John 13. And this is to love one another as he has loved us. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life in John 14. And he fulfilled the law of Moses, but nowhere in the Bible did he claim to be the law. But these are the subtle things the enemy is doing to slowly take people off track from solid biblical truth. Click the link above to find out why The Chosen is a compromise of God's word and, in my opinion, should be avoided. But until next time.
Yeah, I knew that that was off. Because,
me too.
Yeah.
When I first heard it, I thought that doesn't sound, that Jesus never said that. He made several I am declarations, but that wasn't one of them. And then, but I'm like, well, maybe that's just Dallas making things up again. But I didn't realize until people started making videos about this that that might be something pulled from the Book of Mormon, and I did go to the passage that he was talking about, and
right.
I see it here. Now we're going to listen to some stuff from Dallas about this, and he's going to pull some semantics on us where it doesn't say exactly that in this particular verse. It says, "Behold, I am the law and the light," but if you look at the other verses before it and the introduction to this particular chapter, it clearly states that it's going to be about Jesus and the law of Moses. But, you know, Dallas.
right.
You know,
right.
So
well,
I did go to look at this, but I didn't go too deep to try to get context. But that's it's talking about Jesus and the law of Moses here. So
right.
what are your thoughts?
Again, any first-year student on the Gospel of John knows that Jesus is not the law. Now, let me take everyone to the Bible to show what we're talking about. And by the way, when you go to Bible college or seminary to learn Greek, the first book that they have you read again and again and again is the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John
is
the most simplistic Greek, right? So, a good education would have already let you know Dallas is off his rocker, right? So let me take everyone to the Gospel of John, the first chapter of the Gospel of John.
Okay.
Now it draws a distinction. The first part of the Gospel of John draws a distinction between Christ and John the Baptist. okay?
Yes.
Okay, so it says, in the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him there wasn't anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now, if you look at your Bible, light is capitalized.
Right.
Right? It's mm-hmm. it's just like the word word is capitalized. Right? Because it's referring
yes.
to deity. So the same came, this John came to bear a witness and to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light that shine, which lighteth every man that cometh into what? Into the world. So there's a contrast between Jesus and John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
in verse 17, it tells you, verse 15, it starts, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Speaking of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law came by Moses. There you have the law.
Right.
But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So it ends by doing a contrast between Jesus and Moses. Jesus is not the law. He is not. Now, there's much in the five books of Moses that points to Jesus. There's much.
Yes.
For example, you have the angel of the Lord showing up in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We know that the angel of the Lord is Jesus before he took on flesh. Also, in the types and shadows in the law, right? The lamb that was sacrificed and the blood put on the doorpost, that's a type of Jesus Christ during the Passover, right? Paul in Corinthians
mm-hmm.
says, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So there are many types and shadows in the law that point to Jesus, but Jesus is not the law.
Right.
He's grace, right?
Right,
and, so,
because salvation comes through Christ, not the law, because we can't follow the law on all points, our best day.
Right,
it condemns us.
Absolutely. So again, you see, and then when you look at the Mormon passage, when it mentions law and light, if Jesus
mm-hmm.
was actually the law, and if he was actually the light, as they claim, both the law and light, the two L's in law and light, would have been capitalized the same
and
way the
not.
Word, right, the same way the word and the light in the first chapter of John is capitalized.
And since we're in John, I'm going to go ahead and ask this question because I saw this a lot in comments defending this passage here,
right?
And people will say, okay, well, Jesus was the Word, and then they quote John 1:14 where it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and so they use that to say, okay, well, Jesus could be the law of Moses.
No.
Even if
because,
it's
like
not technically, even if he didn't technically say that, it's plausible that he could be because he's the Word, right? So what is, you know, can you help us with that?
Well, if you go back to Romans where Paul draws a contrast between law and grace, if Jesus
mm-hmm.
was the law, we would never be saved because the law doesn't save.
Right.
That's the simple answer. How could Jesus be the law? If that was the case that Jesus is the law, then he's not the Mormon Savior as they claim he is. Because remember,
right.
the keeping of the law doesn't save. It doesn't save. So in other words,
no.
If that were true, then Jesus would be an ineffective Savior because everywhere you look at the law, I'm supposed to get stoned if you follow the law.
Yes.
Right?
I would have been stoned a long time ago.
There you go. It's only by grace that I'm still here today talking about, because I don't deserve to be talking about Jesus. It's only by grace, amazing grace, that saved a wretch like me. The law would have stoned me.
Mm-hmm.
They would have dragged me outside and just stoned me and then stoned me some more. So
right.
Jesus is not the law. He's not, because if that was the case, all should be put to death right now. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Right. And
so,
there's none righteous, so we aren't capable of redeeming ourselves. We needed Jesus, that perfect sacrifice.
Correct. On Monday night, I was talking about the unrighteous praying to God, the self-righteous praying to God, and the religious righteous praying to God. And the unrighteous, God will not hear their prayers. God will not hear the prayers of the self-righteous. God will not hear the prayers of the religious righteous. The only ones that God would hear the prayer of are those who are righteous in Christ by his merits.
Right.
So Jesus, you see, and again, I go back to, if he's law, why isn't the word law capitalized there? And if he's light, why isn't the word capitalized there? Oh, because in Mormon theology, Jesus is not really God.
And Jesus is not, you have to do other things to be righteous in Mormonism. It's works-based mostly.
Right.
So.
Yep. So there you have it. We've seen Catholic compromise. Now we're seeing Mormon compromise, right?
Right, right.
So
but
there you go.
You know, so other scriptures that people pointed to was 1 Corinthians 9:21 and Galatians 6:2
okay.
that make reference to a law of Christ. And they would think, well, maybe that's what it is, what he's
okay,
talking
so that's,
about.
Okay, so what's the scripture, 1 Corinthians what?
9:21.
Oh, that's easy. Oh, that's so easy. Okay. So then, in this chapter, Paul is talking about us. Let's read verse 20. Unto the Jew I say, I become as a Jew. Then I... that I might gain the Jews, and of them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. Now, what is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Love your neighbor. Pray for those that persecute you. That's the law of Christ. That's the gospel.
Right.
Right? I mean, what is the law of Christ? He said, this commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. In this the world will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. That's the law of Christ.
Right.
Paul, if you read Romans 9, Paul says, if I could make a trade with God, I would give myself to the eternal flames in hopes that my kinsmen, the Jews, might be saved. That's the law of Christ, that you would be willing to sacrifice yourself so that others may benefit. That's the law of Christ.
Right, okay. And the second scripture was Galatians 6:2, but I think you just answered it, that one. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which goes into loving your neighbor as yourself.
Right, helping your brother. Your brother, if your brother is jacked up, do what Jesus said the good Samaritan did. That's the law of Christ. If someone asks you for your coat, give them 2. Right?
Yeah.
If your enemy is thirsty, what did Jesus do? Say, give him something to drink. That's the law of Christ. That's what it is. Not this fake Christianity where you and then you're cutting people's throats.
Right.
That's not the law of Christ.
He's coming in a Honda Cadillac.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't want that Christianity. No. But you see, these are people who have not studied the Bible so they can be easily bamboozled.
See? Or they just love the show so much until they're willing to overlook it. But this is huge. This isn't a small thing here. And there was one more thing in the trailer that wasn't as obvious, but I decided to point it out anyway, is you hear that the voiceover with Jesus preaching, and he says something like, what is stirring in your hearts is something about knowing the Father in these troubled times, or something how he put that. But the stirring in your hearts is another Mormon, or it sounds similar to another Mormon teaching about how they confirm whether they've heard from God on a revelation, or if something they want to do is from God, and it's confirmed by a burning in the bosom, is how you confirm whether things are true and from God under Mormonism. And it's straight out of their other book, Doctrines and Covenant.
Well, again,
and I
we
got
know
that
not to,
off of this website. But,
we know not
but,
to trust
Jesus,
the heart, right?
Right. So, I was just going to say Jesus would never say that because the heart is wicked.
I mean, he says from the heart proceeds what? Adulteries, fornications, murders.
Mm-hmm.
The stirring, I mean that's where an unsaved person, even saved people, if they begin to covet in the heart.
Yeah.
Right? And God says, check your heart. Put it in check.
He wants to give us a new heart.
Yeah.
A heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. So, yeah,
absolutely.
That was another one that I noticed in the trailer that, you know, it could easily go right by you. The next audio is us hearing from Dallas himself, because he did a live stream yesterday evening, and I decided to listen to it to see what he said about this, and he didn't disappoint. So,
okay.
Audio 3, and I'll tell you the timestamp, where to go so we can hear that part.
All right, so where do I go?
Go to the 36:28 mark, and we'll listen to the 38:36 mark.
All right, here he is.
Nothing. Now that he's here, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you.
Okay, it's almost over, now, so
that's
did
a
I mess
new
up?
Trailer.
No, I have
yes,
here the Chosen live stream. Okay, so is it the 30-minute mark? Is it the 30-minute mark?
It should be at the 36:28 mark. I might have told you the wrong time. I'm sorry.
No, because I have it at the 36:28. Is it 26:28? Because it's only 36 minutes long.
Is it? Okay, maybe let's go back a little bit.
Let me go to 26.
It's a part just before that trailer.
Okay, so let me see.
So that's where he talks about it. So you can go like to 30.
I'm going to go to 30.
31 or
yeah. I'm going to go to 30.
We can listen to some of this.
All right, here he is.
But actually, theaters make the majority of their money out of, and you knew this, theaters wouldn't exist if they didn't sell concessions. That's where they make most of their money. So if you ever wonder why concessions are expensive, it's the theaters can exist. But theater gets a cut off the top, obviously. Our distribution partner gets a cut off the top, obviously, because they're the one who booked the theaters. And then The Chosen gets the rest. And so when you buy a ticket to the show, we obviously don't get all of that money.
The Chosen gets the rest. No, not The Chosen,
right.
You. You get
right.
It.
That's right. I see what happened with this. They cut off some of what they had last night because it was like 40-something minutes last night. So that's
okay.
What happened.
Okay.
But we get a good chunk of it, and that allows us to reward the actors for that. It allows us to finance future seasons, and it allows us to hopefully make a profit on this show because that's obviously important too, especially for our investors. So, but that's how this normally works. So,
well, the investors. I thought the people were giving money to crowdfund this. Investors.
Well, they call them investors, but he may be talking about his partners as well.
Right.
You know, on the Chosen LLC side.
Right. No, I know what he's talking about because here it is. They're getting money from the suckers, using that money to create a project to enrich the investors. Is that right? Is that the way it works? Oh, yeah, that's the way it works.
Yeah.
The bishop comes for your tithes and offerings and then turns that around into a cosmetic company for the first lady. Isn't that how it works? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first lady comes to you on Sunday morning and tells you to buy her products, and when you try them, it's burning a hole in your face. So then the bishop also has another company that does cosmetic surgery. So, you know.
Right.
So, and if you're a member, you
have
10%.
Or he has a surgeon you can go to, and he gets kickbacks for sending people to this particular doctor.
Exactly. So when he said the investors, listen, I thought the people were investing everything they had. These people are so
right.
Stupid. They're just
and
so
the reason
stupid.
And the reason he's talking about this, he's basically answering questions that people had about this show being in theaters and stuff. And he was a little irritated that people were bothered by that. So that's why he's explaining this.
People's money, you cannot be upset when they ask you what you did with it.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works. And I know they
it
all
does
get mad.
With wolves.
Yeah, I know they all get messy. He's smiling. Oh, this is what we do, and theaters they live off of the popcorn sales, and you know, and that's how they survive. And I didn't ask you how the theater survived. We're asking you why this crappy show in the theaters in the first place. Okay.
Some people, again, I've heard be concerned about, well, where's my money going to? Yes, some of the money goes to the theater, some of the money goes to our distributor. And that's just like anything else, even our streaming app platforms. So when we put it out on the app, some of the money goes to the host of the app. You know, you got Apple and Google and Amazon. Amazon owns the highways on which the app streaming takes place. When we're on YouTube, obviously that's owned by someone else. Every time you watch the show even when you're not paying for it, there is money being spent for the opportunity for us to show that show on the platform or on those streaming highways. So, and then the distribution company gets a cut as well. So that's true of Pay It Forward. That's true of anything, which is some of the money goes to distributors and some of the money goes off the top towards the cost of even just getting the show out there. So that's the case as well in the theaters. All right, so hopefully that clears everything up. I want to show you this trailer. Oh, there's one other thing that's come up I want to address real quick. This has nothing to do with the theatrical release. This has to do with the trailer. Chosen Season 3 trailer. The response has been over the moon. And one of the best lines and one of the most responded to lines in the whole trailer was when the Pharisee says to Jesus, if you do not renounce your words, we have no choice but to follow the book of Moses. And Jesus steps forward and says, I am the law. Follow the law of Moses. And Jesus says, I am the law of Moses. 99% of the people who've seen it went crazy and loved it. There's this 1%, well, less than that actually, who pointed out or said, hey, in the Book of Mormon, there's a phrase where Jesus says, I am the law and the light. And so this is a direct quote taken from the Book of Mormon. Very quickly, because I don't want to take this too seriously. Number one, it's not a direct quote from the Book of Mormon. It wasn't referring to the law of Moses in that quote. And the quote is, I am the law and the light. And I have never read the Book of Mormon, to be honest with you. I've read some of it. People will share it with me. And I read it when someone told me, hey, that's from the Book of Mormon. And I was like, oh, okay. And I went and looked it up. I'm like, okay, no, it isn't. But, okay, it's a cool line. So either way, it's in the show because I believe it's a really great line, and I believe it's also theologically plausible. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Word. I am the light. I am the light of the world. I am the Creator. Jesus is. So when someone is saying, like, well, we're going to follow the law of Moses, and Jesus is like, Sabbath is not made for man, but man for the Sabbath, right? Yes. I want to make sure I get that right. Did I say it backwards? But anyway, because I'm in the middle, I'm doing this live, so I got to make sure that I'm accurate, but I might not be. Point is, God is over these things. Jesus is over these things. He is these things. He owns these things. They came from him. And so Jesus makes many.
Yeah, God made angels and he owns angels, but he's not an angel.
Right.
Yes, God owns the law. The law, it's the law of God. And, of course, God made the law, but he is not the law.
Right. He gave it to, he sent it to the people through Moses. He's the lawgiver in that way.
Right.
But he's not the law.
Right. This is, again, this is a slippery guy trying to make, and see, that's what happens when you're not tethered to the Word of God. These guys, they like to improvise. Let's just say, mm-hmm. let's play along and let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's just say that he didn't get it from the Book of Mormons. He's not catering to the Mormons. That it just happens to be a coincidence that he made that statement, and it's also in the Book of Mormon. The problem is that had he followed the Word correctly, none mm-hmm. of this would have come up. So when you
exactly.
ad lib and you take liberties, this is what happens. And it's more than 1%, buddy. It's more than 1%.
Well,
because if it was
I raised my hand, I'm one of them, but it's a way
yeah.
of belittling and making it seem like the people that are taking issue with this
mm-hmm.
are insignificant and not to be listened to.
Sure.
And
when he says it's theologically accurate, it's not. It's not
no,
theologically
or plausible.
Accurate.
He says
no.
it's plausible. He
don't
loves
make anything
that word, plausibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Like it's plausible that you are Charlie Brown. It's plausible. Sure.
Right.
I mean,
because he says that all the time. I mean, I got so tired of hearing that word from him. It's plausible that Jesus practiced his sermons. It's plausible he asked Matthew for advice to help him. No, it's not. Jesus
right.
never said he was the law of Moses. And that scene that was in, I saw another YouTuber that hinted that that's actually supposed to be a scene from when Jesus was rejected at Nazareth. You know, that's what that
mm-hmm.
he's supposedly depicting there. Because at first I'm like, wait a minute. This when Jesus wasn't before the Sanhedrin Council this early.
Right.
And that's what that looked like, but they're claiming it's Dallas's depiction of the time he was rejected at Nazareth, and they wanted to stone him for him saying
mm-hmm.
that the scriptures were fulfilled in their hearing.
Right. Well, Dallas, again, wrong. And he's so thin-skinned. He and, you know, look, if it's 1%, you don't
why
mention,
bring it up?
You don't mention anything if it's 1%. Right now you have politicians that are running for office, and they have these they have these groups that tell them, okay, what are the people interested in? Well, some of the people are interested in lower gas prices. Others want lower heating oil. Others want less crime on the street. Others, you know, they got a pulse of society. And so when the politician gets out there, he talks about the things that people are really concerned about. If it's 1%, like let's say, for example, if 1% of society is thinking about when is the next UFO attack going to be, the politician's never going to mention that because it's just 1% of the nuts out there.
Right.
But it's more than 1%, and the proof of that is he has to mention it.
Right.
And like you said,
exactly.
He has to belittle people. He has to browbeat them into thinking you're stupid. Well, I'm not stupid, and neither are my friends. We're not stupid. So
right.
the fact that we're bringing it up and you're bringing it up means that you're trying to protect the show. And look, all of his problems with accusations about Mormonism in his show is due to the fact that he hitched his wagon to the Mormon church. That's where all
right.
of this springs from. Had he never done that, nobody would have ever said, this is Mormon.
Right.
But,
well, it's quite a catch that somebody recognized it and called it out.
Right.
Because
I thought it sounded
weird, but I didn't know it was from the Book of Mormon.
Right. I didn't know it was from the Book of Mormon, but I could tell you that was not theologically accurate because if you study the first chapter of John, it delineates it beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
It just delineates it. So
and I don't think Jesus would have forgotten to include that in one of his I Ams if that's how he was going to identify himself.
Well, again, let's take for example. Let's go back to the angel of the Lord. Right. Whenever you read
mm-hmm.
about the angel of the Lord in the Book of Moses, the five books of Moses, the angel of the Lord is coming to people's rescue. He's not showing up to kill people. He's coming to their rescue. That's number one. When you look at all of the types and shadows about Jesus, like, for example, the ark,
mm-hmm.
the ark of Noah is a type and shadow of Christ. God didn't put the animals and Noah in there and then drown them.
No,
he used
he didn't.
The ark as an ark of saving. All of the types and shadows about the tabernacle and Jesus in this and Jesus in that all points to his grace. Not law, but grace. That's what
but
it
under
is.
The more, under Mormonism, it's all about law. And I'm thinking even if Dallas never read the scriptures with the Mormon Bible, I believe he's lying. But he's had these discussions with his Mormon friends to the degree that he thinks they love the same Jesus as us. So wouldn't they have shown him some of their scriptures in some of these discussions?
Listen, the guy sold out. I don't know. I don't know
right.
what. I don't know to what degree he has studied their scriptures or they've shared with him or whatever. But listen,
mm-hmm.
if you're hanging out with Mormons have Mormon. There's Mormon demons, and when
right,
he says,
the same one
yeah.
whispered in his ear, regardless of whether he read it or not.
Exactly. You hang out with those people, you can have demons whispering all kinds of episode plausibilities,
right?
Because you're in that crowd,
right?
And the guy's getting filthy rich off of poor people.
And you
That's
know
all.
They won a Dove Award, you know, the music award show, The Dove, the one that Kirk Franklin called himself boycotting that time.
Right.
Where they have a film category, apparently, which I didn't notice. During this live stream, Dallas mentioned that they won a Dove Award for best TV series in the film category.
Had it been going up against the Munsters, I would have voted for Herman.
I would pick the Munsters. Yep, Herman and
yep.
Lily.
That's it. Yeah,
but listen real quick to Dallas's written response that the Chosen put under somebody's YouTube video. I guess they made a video about this, and
right.
He puts this answer in to their video. To be clear, Dallas has no association with the LDS Church. Lie, just some people who are LDS. Semantics, and of course, the Moses Law quote isn't from the Book of Mormon, but folks love to look for controversy. That's the written response they put under somebody's video.
Okay, so here would be my written response. He's using the theatrical lot of the Mormon Church, is he not?
Yeah.
Didn't he do a show on how the Mormon Church, the hierarchy of the Mormon Church, gave him permission to use their lot?
Yes.
Their land?
We looked at a couple of sources where they confirmed that, yes.
Right, and did he deny it on video? No. He says, we're here and the Mormon Church has allowed us to use this lot, blah, blah. I remember that when we did the series. So don't tell me you're not associated with the Mormon Church. You're in bed with them.
You met with the top prophet of the Mormon Church, or one of them. He's
right
on that Council of 12 thing they have.
There's no way he could have signed on and gotten on that lot unless they would have approved it.
Right, because they don't even let their own people use it, supposedly, but they let him do it.
Right. Listen, that's demonic ground. That's devoted to Satan. All that land. That's devoted to the evil one. You're dealing with a cult. This is a cult you're dealing with. How many people have they led astray? They send people all around the world on bicycles trying to convert people to their religion.
Yes.
No. And you see, the devil is slick. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir and the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir have nothing in common. But dopey Christians think they do. And they sing our music, by the way. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir sings our hymns. But don't be led astray by that.
And even in some of these Book of Mormon passages, you can see where they stole stuff from the Bible.
I have a King James version of the Book of Mormon. I'm telling you. The Mormon Church put out a King James Bible, right? With Mormon footnotes. There's this guy down in that little town that I pastor. He was doing going out of sale business. And it wasn't that he was going out of sale. Is that his grandchildren live in Missouri, and they've been asking him, Grandpa, come back, move back to Missouri and be with us. So he had this huge department store facility, and all it had was old stuff in it. Like if you wanted old ice skates from the 50s, anything from the 50s that you wanted, a cooler, glasses, Coca-Cola cups, anything from the 50s and 60s, I mean, the store was jam-packed with all, I mean, it was a gold mine of goodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found this little book on Spurgeon that I just bought just to give it away to someone, and he says, preacher, take all those books. And I said, I'm not really interested. And he says, well, take this one and this one. And I looked at it and says, King James Version, Mormon Church. And I couldn't believe. I couldn't believe that they had done that.
Yeah.
That's how they infiltrate.
Right. Most of those pseudo-Christian cults do use the Bible, but they have additional stuff.
Right. They have their own study notes on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, it is what it is, and there's nothing Dallas can do to disassociate him. So everybody knows now he's in bed with the Mormons, that's it. That's the
right
bottom line.
Well, it doesn't seem like people care. They this show has a cult following, and you said it many times during our series on this show that there's got to be some demonic assistance with this thing.
Absolutely. This look, it's just like Michael Todd. Michael Todd is a simpleton.
Yes,
he is. Michael Todd is a simpleton. And he's got how many thousands of members? How many?
I think about 5,000, not counting the ones online.
That, and he's a simpleton. You don't think Satan's helping him?
Yeah, he is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you look at Stephen Furtick. I have no doubt Satan's helping Stephen Furtick. How about Andy Stanley? How about Rob Bell?
Yes.
Is Satan helping those guys? Absolutely.
Yes.
Larry Reed. You don't think Satan's helping Larry Reed? Big time.
Yes.
Big time. Time.
Mm.
So, yeah, this guy's being helped by Satan. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, I didn't expect anything more from this next season of The Chosen than we've already seen, but I wasn't expecting it to be this obvious.
Right,
the season
right.
hasn't even started yet, and he's in a mess.
sure, absolutely. Yeah, and only 1%. Why are you talking about it? Because it's more than 1%. It's a firestorm. It's a raging
right.
fire now. It's all over the place.
Right. And you know he has to get out there and tap dance for the people whenever something comes up. Unless this was deliberate controversy, I did think about that. Did they put this out to stir up attention for the show or something? You know how he did with that other marketing
right.
campaign we looked at, you know.
Yep.
I mean, and yes, there are lots of people that might be familiar with the Book of Mormon because they've studied it, or ex-Mormons that are out there that'll speak out on it. So it's possible it's organic that someone caught it, but you wonder, because this is how these guys operate, is it something deliberate?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I give him credit for being smart in some things and stupid in others. And I just think it's his arrogance that allows him to insert the sayings that he wants. Thinks he can get, you know, when you're arrogant, the BTK killer, the bind, torture, and kill killer, he was so arrogant that he would send letters and taunt the police. And all these narcissistic people think they're smarter than
us, right?
And that they can say things, and no one's going to challenge them, or they can always outwit us, or always browbeat us, and call us the 1%, and you're nobody, and you're stupid, and you know, no, you're irrelevant, and all that. But they always get caught. They always get caught.
Well, he still feels he can get away with it because the people are still clamoring to see the show. There's people that are going to pay their money for the merchandise, the theater screenings, and everything associated with it. So to him, in a way, he can get away with it. Look at the look on his face whenever he does these. It's like, Lord, forgive me, but can you just send somebody to smack him one time for me?
Yep.
That's what I feel like sometimes when I watch how he does.
Yep, absolutely. He just thinks he's above the fray. He thinks he's an untouchable.
Ain't really a big deal. These people don't matter. That seems to be his attitude toward people that are saying something about this.
Sure. And the other question you have to ask, okay, Dallas, you say it's 1%. How did you get that information? What survey do you have? What survey did you take? Because no one asked me.
I don't know if they get analytics from the YouTube numbers or what.
Well, maybe, even that.
And I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything in the comments where people were saying anything under the trailer, but people loved it. I mean, I didn't read every single comment, but I did skim through them.
Right, right. Yeah.
So I don't know. Well, he probably heard because people started putting videos out, and I think the social media, remember Joel Osteen and how he pays someone to look, keep an eye on whether he's trending on social media or people making
right.
videos. So that's probably how it happened, how he found out about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And these people are so thin-skinned. What's the latest? What are the latest numbers on me? Please let me
yes.
know. What, you know, please. I don't get it. I'm like Dangerfield. I don't get any respect, not even in my own house. I don't even take. I don't even take a survey anymore. The raccoon has disrespected me. The raccoon has taken over. He's invaded and taken over, like the Russians have tried to take over the Ukraine. And here I am, the wolf tracker, embarrassed, sitting there with my Elmer Fudd hat on, bewildered. You know, please.
Right.
It's just, so, you know.
This is controversy already, but some people like that. It brings attention and publicity.
Like you said, in his own warped way, maybe he wanted this controversy, right?
Right.
In his own warped way, because he thinks maybe it'll draw more people to see the show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's looking for that for that plug in the algorithm that'll just put it in the stratospheres. Who knows? Who knows what this guy is, the way he, you know. Who knows?
The twisted way he thinks, like he did with that devil campaign and pretending to deface his own billboards and stuff.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, people go to jail for stuff like that. When you know, when you say, I got mugged or I got beat up and this happened to me, and then these police come out and spend hours investigating, going door to door, only to find out that you just wanted attention. You go to jail for stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone called a cop, so that's probably the only reason.
Well, I mean, you know, it's stupid because you think about this. In this climate of great sensitivity, where they're walking into synagogues, they're walking into churches and shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
This is irresponsible of you to say they have, you know, spray painted our billboards. They have put graffiti. It's just wrong. You don't do things like
that's
that
true.
In this climate,
especially being supposedly a man of God or evangelical, you know.
Right.
Why you would think that the Holy Spirit would tell him not to do that. He
right.
would know not to.
Right. And then knowing about critical race theory, and here you are, the white man claiming to be the victim, and a bunch of other white partners claiming to be the victim, it's just stupid. It's just all around, all the way around, it's just a stupid thing to do. You just don't, and to build an ad campaign on a lie. It was a lie.
Yeah.
That's like
it's
me
just
saying, I'm raising money for missions because a little hurricane came through Puerto Rico and destroyed that whole area that I had once evangelized, and I'm going back, and there hasn't been even a wind blown through that area, but here I am raising money.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. You don't do things. Keep the lies. Stay. And again, when you're surrounded by lying demons, you're gonna lie. They're gonna whisper lying campaigns to you. All of that is his connection with Mormonism, and he's easy pickings because he's full of pride.
That's right.
He's full of pride. See, Hollywood told them you got no talent. Hollywood told him the truth. Then he goes to the church, and the church lies to him.
That's right.
Yeah. Because I got to tell you, okay, the show was popular, but for me, it's unwatchable. It's unwatchable. If for me, it's like watching 1980s Incredible Hulk with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. It's unwatchable. Okay, it's
just, I would watch that the Hulk if I had to choose between the two.
Right, if you have to choose between them and the Hulk, you choose the Hulk. If you have to choose between the $6 Million Man and this, I'll choose the $6 Million Man. But you know that TV is unwatchable. It's unwatchable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, nobody wants to watch those old shows. They're unwatchable. So that's the way his show is. It's okay. So he's out there. He's on a streaming platform, but it's unwatchable. You can't watch it. It's no good.
And it's definitely not good for theology. It's not going to help you learn more about the Bible or the Lord. Because even if you buy the study material, as I've said before, you're just learning the characters in the show with a little bit of Bible mixed in. And it's definitely not something you want to use as a witnessing tool for your unsaved friends and family. And
right.
Also, you're giving your money to basically a pseudo-Christian cult, a false religious system.
And you're enriching the Mormons.
Yes.
You're enriching Mormon men who propagate heresy. The bottom line, you are in business with false teachers. These people, the name Mormon, everybody knows Mormon. You're not evangelical. You're just not.
Right.
You're just not. So, and you would think his daddy, Jerry Jenkins, would have told him something, but no, Charlie Brown is that way because his daddy's in on it.
He's writing those novels based on the season, so he's a part of this.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep, Dallas, boy.
Yeah, so this is what's going on with Dallas. I didn't know I didn't think I would have to speak on Dallas anymore, but he always manages to do something, so here we go.
He manages to come back like Kanye. Kanye says something about the Jews, and he's back in the news again.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye's always saying something to grab the headlines.
Right.
That's it. That's the way these people, like you said, they put out bad publicity out there just to be relevant again.
Mm-hmm.
Just to grab a headline.
The next audio was just, something where if we wanted to use it, number four was just about Dallas saying going down swinging, and I was just trying to remind people of his connection with the Mormons, that if he thinks that we love the same Jesus, then what would be the problem with using some of their scriptures in his show? But we can skip over that and just go back to Mike Todd and finishing up. I think you said we had like 30 minutes left in his little goofy sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the email switched around. I sent number six before number five. My email was kind of acting up, so those two got changed around. But the very last one I sent you is the sermon that we can finish. And we can get to that other one if we have time today. It's just a few minutes anyway.
Okay.
For the next 5 weeks.
All right. Now, where did we leave off with Insufferable
Todd? Okay. we left off at the hour and 10-minute mark, according to what you told me last week.
Okay. So here we go. 1 hour, 10 minutes.
For real, y'all. He said, give it all. Sell the first. Not 1 year later, God tells me to put out relationship goals in purpose. Sells almost 1 million copies. Now, I don't know who's good at math, but I got paid more than $2 a book. where I was going to be getting cents on the dollar in poverty. I got in purpose.
Yeah.
And God sent provision. But I didn't go ball out and get to the prosperity gospel.
Wow.
I hired somebody to help me write my second book so I could stay in purpose.
Come on.
So I wrote my second book. And God said, all right, Michael, I want you to buy somebody a car. Now, Lord, I mean, you have been good, but I don't know if poverty. Michael, you could do it right now. Why are you fighting when I gave your money a purpose? I'm telling you what to do with it.
Yeah.
And you're fighting me? Oh, it's fear. Because you can be a pastor with fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could be a small group leader with fear. Because really, it's the fear of failure.
It's amazing how these guys have these conversations with God when God's mm-hmm. trying to get him to give away his money when God owns everything.
Right.
Right? Right. Either God talks to him so he can give away his money, or God is talking to him so that you can give away your money, but this God never gives up his money. I don't get that.
What? Well, they like to talk like this to convince people to give their money. And you're making it seem like you have a poverty mentality, you're fearful, you don't have faith, because if you don't want to give according to how they say to give.
Right. In this kind of climate, you can't preach that stupid message today.
Well they're doing it.
You can preach it, but people are hurting now.
Yeah.
In my state of New York, where a Democratic governor was always a shoo-in, people up here want change. They don't want this
mm-hmm.
mess anymore. They don't want this. The people are hurting. The guy over here next to me at the food pantry, he tells me he's got record numbers of people going in to him for food. Record numbers.
Mm-hmm.
People can't make ends meet. They're coming to the food pantry to get four cans of soup. Oh, and they'll take the soup. They'll take whatever
right.
they give. They're starving. And these clowns are preaching this stuff? More money, more problems.
Right.
No, this is stupid. And he's talking about, I wrote a book and I got $2 per. Dude, you're being helped by Satan.
More than $2.
Yeah. You're being helped by Satan.
Right.
That's it. That's who's helping you big time. Because who would buy that first book? And who would buy the second book? Nobody. Nobody in their right mind should be buying anything.
Well, they buying it.
Yeah, well, like Solomon said, to the making of books, there is no end.
Right.
You know, that's it. Everybody figured, oh, I can, you know.
Well, as you know from tending livestock, you know goats will eat anything.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Goats will eat anything. All right, here's more from Mr. Todd.
And God said, trust me, buy him the car. Ah, bought him the car. You feel better, Michael? Honestly? No. But I don't have to feel better to be obedient. And every step of the way, God has continued to increase. This ball is huge over my head now. Huge. It still feels the same. Because I'm in purpose. I don't care how much paper you make. There are athletes and celebrities watching this. I love you. But who you are is not based on how much money you have. Because there's tons of people who have killed themselves with tens of millions of dollars in the bank. obviously something didn't seal them up. What I'm encouraging everybody to identify is, where are you at today? Have you believed in the MMP, more money, more problems? Or the MMP, more money, more pleasure? What I'm believing for everybody by the end of this series is that you are dead set. More money, more purpose. Can I give you an example of this in the Bible and then we'll go home? Solomon. Y'all remember Solomon in the Bible, David's son? Okay, I got to show y'all real quick. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 3. It says, "And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, now check this out, ask for whatever you want me to give you." What if God came to you tonight, fell asleep, Netflix is on, and the Lord comes to you and says, "Stephen, ask me for whatever you want." Solomon answered, look at what he answered. "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit at his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and don't know how to carry out my duties. I don't know how to fulfill purpose. Your servant is here. Your servant is here. Your servant is here. Among the people you have chosen, I'm just like all of them, and these are great people, too numerous to count or number. So this is what I'm asking. If I can have whatever I want, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, between poverty gospel and prosperity gospel and purpose. Give me the ability to discern what your purpose is, to administer justice and know what to do with my enemies. Verse 12, I will do, watch this, I will do what you ask. I will give, this is God's response to somebody who said, I just want to know my purpose. God, if I can have anything, help me do what you purposed me to do. No. Go back to verse 9. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Verse 10, I love it. The Lord was pleased with his cry to fulfill purpose. He was pleased in what Solomon had asked. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not a long life and not wealth for yourself, nor have asked for death for your enemies, but for discernment and administrating justice, I will do what you have asked. Because you chose purpose, because you were going to be one that bought into the gospel of doing the purpose that God has called you to do, I'm going to do everything you asked me to do. Plus, oh, I love this, I will give you wise and discerning heart so that there will never, oh my God, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. Because you asked to do your purpose right, I'm going to give you the thing you didn't pray for. Oh, my God, this blesses me. I'm going to give you both wealth and honor so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk, watch this. So he already promised them all of that. But then he gives them, let me up it for you. And if you walk in obedience to me, and keep my decrees and commands and principles, as David your father did, I will give you long life, ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. He said it again, both wealth and honor. Watch this. So that in your lifetime, you will have no equal among kings. What he was trying to give him through obedience was a blessed life. But look what he asked for. Purpose. I don't need money.
Yeah.
I need purpose.
Good.
I don't need prosperity. I don't need poverty.
Yeah.
I need purpose. More money, more purpose.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what the text says, number one.
No,
two.
I'm sitting here looking at it. I'm like, I don't see that. He added to the word. There's nothing about show me my purpose or show
Absolutely.
Me to discern between good and poverty. And
right.
No, I don't see any of that in here. I'm looking.
And no one in that audience is a monarch of a nation.
No.
No one. Specific things are rendered to a monarch of a nation that is in covenant with God. Not Michael Todd,
mm-hmm.
not the people in the audience, not me, not you, will ever be spoken to that way because we are not monarchs of a nation. So that doesn't
right.
apply to any one of us. Not one. Now, there's some general principles. Yeah, if you pray to God and your motives are right and you ask for the right thing, then, of course, he'll bless you with some other things.
Right.
But he's using that text. Why doesn't he speak about, why doesn't he use Acts 3 where Peter and John go to the temple and pray and they're on purpose, I'm using his term now, and the lame man reaches out for a donation and Peter says, silver and gold, they have none.
Because they had no money. Because remember,
right.
his premise is more money, more purpose.
Correct.
But even if you look at this passage you just referenced, Solomon already had a purpose even before he even ascended to the throne, because even when he was born, God loved that little boy.
Right.
So
his name was Jedediah. The Bible says and they named him Jedediah, and it means he whom the Lord really loves.
Mm-hmm. So, and God had already said to David, he's going to be the one to build my temple, you
right.
know, and so he didn't have to ask for purpose. You know, God already knew what Solomon was going to be when the time came.
If Solomon is asking for purpose, then Solomon would be retarded. Because he's got a crown on his head. Okay, Solomon, what does that crown mean? What does that crown talk about? Right? I mean, so he's not retarded.
Right. But a lot of pimps love to cite this scripture, but they like to put a lot, they'll read over the other parts of it, but they'll emphasize the fact that that God also gave him riches, even though he didn't ask for it. That's the part of it they love.
Right. Well, again, that's like me reading to my daughters, you guys are going to be a Queen Esther. Let's read the book of Esther just so that I can show you how all of you are going to be queens. No. The book of Esther's about a Jewish girl becoming queen, a Jewish girl becoming a Cinderella. That's not
mm-hmm.
what the book is about. But you could twist it that way. If you're a prosperity pimp, you can twist it, you know. It's plausible. It's plausible, you know. So... All right, let's play a little more here.
Let me leave you with this. Obedience equals a blessed life. Next week, I'm going to get us all hype and excited, but I had to give you where you may be at. Because some people are driving really nice cars still in the poverty gospel. But, like, it don't matter what you got. It matters what's in your heart. And that's what I got to talk about next week. Because our heart is the place where God makes and sees what's really in there. But if your money doesn't have a purpose, there will be a problem. If your money does not have a purpose, and the purpose can only come from God. You can't make a plan here and call it purpose. So many people on their Twitter are making plans that they made purpose, but you're in a degree that you'll never use when you get in purpose. That's why I tell young people, pray now what God is calling you to. Because you'll be more money, more poverty, or more money, more pleasure. But God said, more money, purpose. And this is what I'm praying for every person under the sound of my voice, that we would stop going back and forth between poverty and prosperity. That we would lean. This is easy for me. This is comfortable, Abby.
Yeah.
Leading how I'm leading now, from when I started preaching this 8 years ago, Charles, to right now just being in purpose, it's more comfortable. It actually is something I can lean on. When I get more opportunity for resources, and God doing something in my life and in your life, I now have a filter.
Yeah.
Is this a part of my purpose? Do you know how much money I've given up to stay in the middle of purpose? What I'm telling you is there's nothing that you will give up in purpose that God will not give back to you because you're doing it his way. And for everybody who's tired of holding it up, Charles is the perfect picture of 90% of the people watching today. And Abby, throw it over there, is the perfect picture of everybody else. Until we submit to God and say, you know what? I'm going to live in purpose. Today I want to pray for you. And I pray that this picture never leaves you. I pray when you go to make decisions, when you go to buy things, when you go to decide if you're going to honor God with the tithe and offering, I pray that you see this picture and you literally filter, am I walking out the poverty gospel right now? The prosperity gospel? But the purpose gospel. By the end of this series, I promise you, if you stay with us in this, you are going to be so clear about why God gives you resources and how he's going to use your resources. God has no problem with money as long as it has his purpose. And I'm talking to somebody who doesn't have much right now. God, because your heart is open to this message right now, is about to trust you with a whole bunch. Somebody needs to receive that right now. Where you're at right now and the enemy's trying to convince you that this doesn't have nothing to do with you. Oh, no, remember preparation and stewardship. God's giving you this message for what he's about to do in your life in the next 6 months. He's saying, I need you to hold on to purpose right here. I need you to grab a hold of it right now. Because I'm about to teach you what MMMP really stands for. More money, more purpose. Hands lifted everywhere. God, I thank you that I've done my assignment for today. That God, I've shown people very clearly the difference between a poverty gospel, a prosperity gospel, and the gospel of the kingdom, which is a gospel of purpose. God, I thank you that you're going to align all.
AJ, I have sat here. We've listened to 1 hour and 22 minutes, and I still don't know what he wants me to do.
Give up your money? Because he did mention honoring God with the tithes and offerings. And,
yeah, but here's the thing. He had that husband and wife holding that ball throughout that whole time, right? Right?
Yes.
It was a husband and wife? Okay. They're not, listen to me, that couple ain't going to go where he's going. they're never going to be there. And nobody in that audience is going to be where he's at because he sits on top of the pyramid.
Right.
That's where that's where he sits, on top of the pyramid. And until they get that, he can brag. Sure, he can brag. Why can't he brag? Because the church, that church, is his ka-ching, ka-ching machine.
Right. It's like it's those multi-level marketing businesses where the more people you have under you, that's how you move up the ranks and you're able to start making money. But if you stay at the bottom of the pier of that scheme, you're never going to get anything.
Never. And God ain't going to be talking to you about purpose because, first of all, God would not be having that conversation with you.
Nope.
Because let me read. Okay. Let me go to Romans 12. Romans 12. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable what? Service.
Service.
That's your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Not to go to God's house and become a lamb that's slit at the throat and dies. Not that kind of a sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. You live a life of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your purpose. Now, when you read all of Romans, when you read all of Romans, does Paul ever mention the tithe and the offering in Romans? No.
No.
No. It has nothing to do with purpose. Money has nothing to do with purpose.
And being blessed of God doesn't always mean money or material things. Because I believe the rich man in Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus had plenty. He was building more barns to hold his stuff. But where did
Absolutely.
He end up? He may have had a blessed life on this side of things, but was obviously spiritually bankrupt.
Correct. So none of that. None of what – and I'm sitting here saying, okay, you just still didn't explain to me concrete way, you know, because when you get something, let's say you order something from Walmart, let's say you get a bookshelf from Walmart, it comes with instructions. Okay, take all these, it tells you how many screws you have, how many washers you have. I mean, it gives you, okay, and then it says, okay, start. Step one, take left panel and screw it to right panel. Right,
mm-hmm.
It gives you a set of instructions so that at the end, when you go from instruction 1 to instruction 10, the bookcase is put together. I haven't gotten one instruction. I don't know what he's talking about. He's playing with a medicine ball, and I don't know what he's talking about. I'm dizzy from watching him with the medicine ball.
And the scriptures he did throw out have nothing to do with anything. Like now, there's instructions are changing, or some of them. Because I bought some little glass for my phone or something, and it came with a little small little card with supposedly the instructions, but it was all pictures, but it wasn't even pictures that made sense. It was like symbols that stood for things, but it was no words to tell you. But fortunately, I could just figure it out for myself, but those instructions didn't help me. Think of it like if I send you some instructions, but I send you emojis.
I have no clue.
Emoji. You had no clue what I'm talking about. And that's what this is like.
Right.
Because those instructions I got did not help me. They were just some symbols or pictographs or something that I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, because honestly,
so that's what Michael
Todd
did.
Yeah, and using him, first of all, he starts off the sermon correctly. We started. I mean, it was so long ago.
He said, this is not about me. It's about you. That was the first thing. And then in the 5 minutes into it, this is about me. And this is
exactly
how God dealt with me.
Right.
And I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know what the guy is saying. I still don't know. This is the. It took him 2 hours. 2 hours, and I don't know what he said.
Well, everybody else is acting like he's Socrates or something. They just got some intellectual thing that they've never heard before.
Now, AJ, how could people sit there for these 2 hours?
That maybe most of them are goats.
I don't know how you can sit in church for two. I mean, this is two. He talked for 2 hours.
Yep.
His sermon, a 2 hour sermon? Boy, this guy loves to hear himself.
Yeah. Because there's no praise and worship or other stuff in it that takes up a lot of time. This, all of this was the sermon.
This is crazy. I thought, you know, when I first saw the video, the length of the video, 1 hour, 42 minutes, I said, oh, this is the whole service. No, it's not the whole service. This is him talking and some.
Yeah, that there was stuff that probably went on before they started filming.
Sure.
As well, so, yeah.
Wow. Wow, this is bad. This is awful.
But that's
this
what they
awful.
Get every week. I mean, you go on their YouTube page and there's tons of sermons just like it.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Well, you want to hear him finish that prayer, or you want to go listen to something else?
Well, we can go to the other little video and talk about that for a bit. And this is
okay.
One of his faux pas that somebody was talking about. So this is just a few minutes, and then we'll
all
talk
right.
about it.
Okay, here it is.
Hey everybody, Sean here, and I hope you're doing well. The Dissenter had a recent article about Todd preaching in a t-shirt with a picture of his wife in a bikini. And while that's just weird, the way he went about it was even stranger. This comes from his video, Cuffed to the Comments. Master the art, watch this, of fulfilling your calling in the midst of comments. George Whitefield was a great example of doing that when he said, I was honored today with having a few stones, dirt, rotten eggs, and pieces of a dead cat thrown at me. That's someone not worried about what people are saying or doing while they preach the truth of God.
I'm going to keep doing it. Somebody say, I'm going to keep doing it. Today there'll be comments about the sermon. People will comment good things. People will comment bad things. They'll be mad because I had a picture of my wife on my shirt in a bathing suit. How a pastor going to get up there tempting everybody? But if you go into Forever 21 right now, your daughter has on a shirt with somebody they don't know.
So to Mike, it's not about wearing a t-shirt with a provocative picture. It's about a provocative picture of someone you don't know that's the real issue.
With in a bathing suit right now, and you... I love her, and she wears bathing suits. First ladies wear bathing suits? Oh, my God.
This is the part that really irks me. I was in any church with a pastor that spoke like that, I wouldn't be coming back, and I'd most likely confront them afterwards. This is one way to take the Lord's name in vain. Not the only way, but saying, oh, my God, in a moment like that is no different than saying, what the fudge, holy doo-doo, son of a basket weaver. And you know the real words that people usually use. Maybe you feel different, but it totally offends me. And everybody in his service claps and laughs.
I'm so done with church people. What I'm saying to you is comment on it. I don't care. Next week we're going to Miami. We're going to be at VU conference. And I'm going to get comments. And I'm going to do what God called me to do.
And his video was the one putting up those comments on the screen. Ironic, eh? The difference is that he doesn't care about what people think because he's arrogant, not because he's willing to stand for truth, in my opinion. Put him in George Whitfield's situation, and let's see how long he keeps speaking. But him even addressing this fact is no different than Todd White backpedaling. They know they have issues, but it's pride that makes them defend themselves and actually bring up these topics. Anyhow, there's lots of videos online you can watch about Todd, including his playlist here on Revealing Truth. But we're going to keep it short.
Yeah, this is why his sermons are 2 hours long, because he's talking about stupid
extras.
Stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the demonstrations and extras.
Who cares? Who cares about his wife? And again, that all of that is just a juvenile man.
I saw another video of him with another picture of a shirt with another picture of his wife wearing a real slinky dress. You know, low on the top, and you know how some of them wear them now.
Right.
So he likes to do that, and it's great that he loves his wife. But does every man in the audience have to see that?
Yeah. Again, I just put it back to they're arrogant, like Dallas Jenkins is arrogant, and Dallas Jenkins will dismiss people. And call them church folk. By that he means they're Pharisees. They're just stuck up people and don't take them serious because they complain about everybody. And but the reality is they're polluting the church. That's the bottom line is they're just polluting the church. That's all they're doing. Polluting the minds of the people who come to church, because if if the pastor has no problem doing that, okay. So, how about if I come to church with a picture of Fidel Castro on my shirt, right?
I'm not sure he would know who that is.
Right, or let's say Che Guevara, right? One of those revolutionary people from the 60s. So, again, it's in poor taste, but because they're arrogant. You're not gonna get them to stop. They're just a law unto themselves.
And there's even a video out there of him and dancing with his wife, and then he starts twerking in the video.
Wow.
I don't know if you've ever seen that or heard of what it is, but it's a very explicit dance. Just put it that way.
Yeah.
You mainly see it in women do it in the rap videos and stuff like that. So it is definitely strange to see a man doing it, even if it is with his wife.
Yeah, I don't care who it's with. It's not church appropriate. It's just not. I wouldn't even
and
do
it
if it I was
and
out
put
of...
it on the internet for people to see.
Yeah. And you see, his bishop ain't going to say nothing because his bishop is getting a kickback. Right?
Yes. Right.
So... when you create a Frankenstein leaves the castle and he winds up wreaking havoc all throughout the mountainside, That's what happens.
You're right.
Watch any Frankenstein movie and you'll see. You create one, you and Igor create one, and then you give him life, and then before you know it, he's out, tossing little girls into ponds and choking old men It is what it is. So it's sad, but this is the new crop.
Yeah.
This and that other girl.
Sarah Jakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
The new up and comers.
That's it. That's who these people are. That's who they are. And what can you tell of Sarah Jakes now that her father has handed her the mantle?
Has christened her, yeah.
Yeah.
Anointed her and sent her forth.
That's it. And she'll say if I criticize her, she'll say, I just heard the Lord tell me to start a Man You Are Evolved ministry to help to help cavemen like you. Right? So it is what it is. It's a sad, sad day in the church. Well, Sister AJ, I'll be listening to your broadcast each and every week as you move on to do solo broadcast. I am very, very proud of you. And you have what it takes to do shows. And I just want to encourage you
Thank you.
Go forth in the name of the Lord. And we have some work to do, you and I, this week as I show you how to get in here and set things up. But I'm there to help you. And again, I want to let you know that I appreciate the partnership that we've had and that we still have, because I'll just be rooting from a distance. But like I said, I'll be listening to the
Thank
broadcast.
You.
And God be with you and do what you've been doing now for the past 4 years. And I know the Lord is going to give you much success.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure working with you. And, of course, anytime you got a few minutes,
Absolutely.
You know you can get on with me.
Absolutely. And I will
and
do
I'll
that.
Probably
I will,
be bugging
I will
you.
Pop
I'll
in.
Probably be bugging you by email occasionally.
No, you call me. You know that you have my direct number, and you call me, and I'm always there for you and Sister Marie. All righty.
Thank you.
You have the last word.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you once again for all you've done and the opportunity you gave us with this platform. And thank everyone else for listening. And we'll see you next time, Lord willing. Have a great rest of your day and week. Bye-bye.